following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
I think in many cases, the whole idea of resolutions at the beginning of every year forms a type of tension, doesn't it? Because we, with incredibly good intentions, we write out all these things. And we're going to talk about goals, we're going to talk about resolutions here this morning. But I don't know if you are can kind of resonate with any of these people here this morning who looked at their resolutions over the last year and looked at where they are today and thought, dude, I really messed up there. Didn't do that. Anybody do that? Kind of like, yeah, right, I didn't follow through real well on that one, you know? We're going to talk about those here this morning, not about the ones we didn't follow, but about the ones, you know, that we're going to make this year if you haven't already put some together. But I will talk about those in a little bit more fashion here today, all right? Again, I just want to remind you, Justin mentioned to you about the 21 days of fasting. Can I just reemphasize how crucial it is for every one of us, not just for our church, but individually, to set aside a period of time to say, I'm just going to focus on God. Okay, and we have some booklets back there. If you want to use those, you can. You don't have to. But those are great booklets just to kind of help guide us through, have a scriptural reading for each day, a thought for the day, a prayer for the day. And so just God walk you through that, okay? And so that's where we're starting that Sunday, the 8th, and we're going to go through the 28th. But on that night, that Saturday night, we're going to come together and just have a time of corporate prayer and worship for the various needs of the church individually. So please write those down and come and join us and put that together. Make that a priority, if you would. Pick up that booklet. Well, let me share some thoughts here this morning. Today, Becca and I get to get in my little Jeep, and we get to drive to Richland. And we get to hang out with my sister-in-law. And two things here real quick. Number one, would you pray? Keep praying with us for JL. She's having some challenges right now as a result of some side effects of the radiation treatments that she's been going on, having to go under. She has another one this week that we'll be able to be there with her for that. But it's been a challenging holiday season for her and the family. So if you wouldn't mind keeping us in prayer as we go there, not only for safety today as we drive through that wonderful pass and all this kind of crazy stuff, but pray for JL and her healing and her recovery, and pray for safety for us and pray for wisdom as we meet with some individuals and try to walk through a process for her. But anyhow, we get to take off, and I just want to just kind of emphasize here, what would be the absolute key for us getting to Richland today? I'm going to talk about that here. I think the factors that are crucial to me and Becca getting to Richland safely today are the same ones that could secure and ensure a safe and successful journey for every one of us through 2017. As we look at those first, I think it'd be very, very crucial, and this is very simple, but I think it'd be very, very crucial for me to make some right choices once I get in my car. Okay? Once I get in my car, which way am I going to go on I-5? Should I go north or south? Okay? If I take the wrong choice, I would probably end up in Canada, okay? I will end up, not probably. But I have to make a right choice. As I go south on I-5, I have to take Highway 405, or I have to choose to go on one of the bridges and all that kind of stuff to get across to Interstate 90. Once I get to Interstate 90, I have to go across the Snoqualmie Pass, and I have to make right choices about which turns to make in order to finally make the right exit to take me down into the Tri-Cities area. So my day-to-day will be dependent upon a successful journey about making right choices. Can you say amen? Yeah, you better make some right ones. If I make some wrong ones, I could be in Oregon, I could be in Canada, or I could end up in Spokane, or I could end up in, I don't know, maybe Waterville. But anyhow, you okay? That's where these guys are. But anyhow, or Wenatchee, right, Zach? If I make a really bad choice. But anyhow, I have to make some right choices in the process. A lot of twists and turns happen today. A second thing, a factor I want to just kind of throw out to you as we introduce this whole project here, or idea, and that is I have to be determined. There has to be a certain amount of determination because the weather could cause a problem. Anybody said? Okay. I could get sleepy. That could cause a problem. Okay. And everybody said, yeah, have you ever done that? You know, anyhow, traffic could be a problem. Accidents could be a problem. The pass could be a problem. There could be a lot of issues that I face between Cedar Woolley and Richland. The way I'm going to get there is going to have to be determination. I just can't quit. Even if they say, you know, chains required, guess what? Gonna have to put the chains on. Okay? I've got to, even if it is bumper to bumper, heading up North Bend, all the way up that, guess what? I'm going to have to be determined. I can't say, hey, Beck, we're not doing this. We're going home. Literally, that option is not there for us. We have to get there. Okay? So there has to be a degree of determination. If you follow with me here this morning, I think those are two very, very key factors in getting us to where we want to go in life. Right choices and determination. Think about them with me here this morning. Right choices is more than just making about the right choice about which mountain pass to take. It's about throughout the process of my life, making right choices with my business ventures, with my finances, making right choices with my health, making right choices with my family, making right choices with my discipline, making right choices spiritually, getting up and reading my Bible or whatever the case may be. Okay? It's a right choices. It's saying no to that extra helping of ice cream, maybe. That's not real happy right now, is it? Okay? It's maybe saying, yes, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go work out at my new membership at Planet Fitness. I saw some of you on Facebook. Okay, anyhow. Okay, are you with me? It's saying, maybe it's saying no to that unnecessary purchase, or maybe it's saying yes to reading my Bible. Whatever, our life really consists of making wrong choices. Anyone here ever made a wrong choice and suffered the consequences? Hello? We should have a revival of hands going up in here. All right, because we're all there, right? All right, that's what we're talking about here. Choices every day. Here's the phrase. We are clearly products of our choices. They will either make us or break us. Have you ever heard that? And that's so true, isn't it? Our choices. And so that is going to be a factor here. The determination is more than just going through 2 weeks of my New Year's resolutions and then dropping them. Okay, my determination is this is my life, and we all know that life is not a game. Hello? Okay, it's very, very real. For us to get through the challenges of life, there must be in every side of us a little bit of determination. I'm not going to let this situation get me down. I'm going to walk through it. Okay, life is not a game. Life is real. Several years ago, one of our big traditions every New Year's Eve was to get our family together and play the game of Risk. That was back when my kids were kids and not what they are now, adults. But we had these games. And I remember one New Year's Eve very, very clearly because I was getting slaughtered. I mean, everyone had armies. I think I had one in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, I'm going to die. This game is not going to be possible for me to win. And it was so happened that it was Casey that had red armies, and she had like 5 continents. I mean, it was just a matter of time before it was obvious that Casey was going to win. All right? And so I, being the dad, did a very dad thing, and I grabbed the board and said, okay, I quit. And I threw the board up in the air. I just want you to know right away, dads, don't do that. Because they want the satisfaction of winning. Okay? Life is not a game that you can all of a sudden just throw it up in the air and say, I'm done. You just can't do that. You have to persevere, and that's called determination. In the many nuances of life that it throws at, guess what? Guys, can I just say this? Don't quit. I just kind of felt in my spirit this morning as I was reading over these thoughts that some of you need to hear that. Someone in here really needs to hear that this morning. No matter where you're at in your life, don't quit. Don't stop right now. Okay, the answer is just on the other side of the mountain pass. Okay, it's just through you get through the tunnel. I read a prophetic word this past week and that just simply said to me, "Don't quit while you're in the middle of the tunnel because there's a light at the end. Make sure you get there where the light is." Okay, and I challenge us with that. In these next 4 weeks, I'm going to be talking about a little sermon series called Achieve. And it's just been burning in my heart, you know, because so many times, church, we get to the end of our life and we said, "I wish I would have." We get to the end of life and said, well, I didn't encounter all that I wished I wanted to, or I just missed out on a lot of things, or we never achieve all that we really set out to achieve. A lot of different aspects of that. The word achieve means to attain or to accomplish or to complete, succeed. The opposite is simply to fail. And I want to challenge us as we begin this 2017, every one of us in here this morning, I want to challenge us to maybe just a little higher and think more. Every one of us have talked about goals, we've talked about priorities, and I'm not trying to get everyone here to go out and make a whole new list of resolutions and all these kind of things, as much as I am trying to challenge each one of us to think about, wait a minute, I want more that God has for me in my life. And I believe one way for us to do that is through the establishing and the setting of goals in our life. The time is now to begin that new trajectory on our life. Maybe there are some things out there that you want to accomplish. Now's the time to start those. I'm reading a book right now that said, you know, never think you're too old to learn how to play the piano. Because what if you're 40 or you're 50? Now I'm too old to play the piano. Wait a minute, when you get 65, you'll have 20 years of experience. Never think it's too late to start anything. Right now, 2017, January 1st, it's a great opportunity to say, I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start learning the language. I'm going to start playing an instrument. I'm going to start whatever it is. Now's the time to start a new trajectory. If you were to get on an airplane in SeaTac Airport, and if you were to jump on that airplane heading to New York City LaGuardia Airport, if that airplane is 1/8 of an inch off at its beginning, and it does not correct that particular course, it will miss New York by 500 miles. Some of us need to understand that we need to adjust where we are right now to keep us going in the direction to get us where we want to go. Okay? And that's all I'm trying to challenge our thinking with right now. Wait a minute. If I keep going in the direction I'm going, will I get to where I want to go? Just simply rattle your cage a little bit here today. Put a new course. I want to highlight some factors that will be beneficial. And I think one of the first factors I want to talk about here in this four-week series is having to do with just the idea of goals. I believe goals are simple. I believe goals are basic. I believe they're relevant. I believe they are very much biblical. The key to making right choices and the determination is having an objective. What is going to happen with my right choices and my determination? The key to that success of the right choices and the determination is the fact that I have a destination. I know where I'm going. Hello? Okay. I know that I'm going to Richland. If they say, if you don't know where you're going, what? Any path will get you there. Okay? So my point here is just simply that. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. I'm saying I'm going to Richland, so I know where I'm going, so I will make right choices to get me there, and I will be determined to get me there. I think a lot of people struggle with life because they really don't know where they're going. They have no sense of direction. They have no goals, no sets of priorities. So they can't sit down and begin to plan because they have no idea where they're going. I'm challenging us all here, myself included. I've done a lot this past week. And just sit down and say, okay, Bill, where are you going in 2017? What are the things that are going to be your priorities? And I want to challenge us here with that here this morning. You see, living on Someday Isle will never get you anywhere. Did you hear that? Well, Someday Isle, that'll never get you anywhere. Okay? Having a dream is not simply enough because every dream still needs a plan to be accomplished. Did you follow me? Wishing is the same thing. You never accomplish any wishes without any planning. Okay? Pretty simple, basic stuff, right? But it's so true. And it's so much out there it's so simple, I think sometimes we ignore it. The verse I'm going to share with you, Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. Somebody say press on. I'm determined. See? I have a determination to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Somebody say one thing. One thing. Goal, priority, planning. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the what? Goal to win the prize for which Christ, God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We're all travelers. I'm with you in this message here to us this morning. I am preaching it to myself too. I want to say very clearly, I've not all attained all of this, and I can't look and say, I've accomplished all the goals that I've set out before in my life before you. I've messed up many, many times. Okay? But I can say and attest to the fact, the reality of the truths that he says here about pressing on. Let's take a look at it. We quote this verse often. Let's move. And we quote this often, don't we? Jeremiah 29:11. Think about this with me, okay? I know my plans I have for you, says the Lord. The plans. God has plans for us. Think about this. plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Think this thought through with me. If God has a plan in creating the worlds and sending his son Jesus, there was a plan there, right? If Jesus had a plan in coming to earth, the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, he had a destination, and he was getting there. He had the choices, and he had the determination to get him to the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the shame and went to the cross for us. So Jesus had a plan. Wouldn't it be logical for you and me to think that maybe we must have a plan in order to live out his plan on the earth? Proverbs 16:9, New American Standard says, the mind of man plans his way. So there's a crucial aspect here. Important for us to plan the way. As we plan the way, the Lord directs our steps. Did you hear that? We plan, God directs us. I told my kids as we were growing up, I told my kids all the time, I tell people who come to me, Pastor Bill, I just don't know what to do. And I said, start doing something. Because I know God is impossible, but it's impossible for him to guide you or steer you if you're not moving. Start moving. Start making the plans, and the Lord will direct the steps. Are you with me? See? All of us know that the greatest effectiveness comes due to planning. Brent and Caitlin are building a house right now. I talk to them often about what they're having to do. They're having to build that house, what? Step by step. It's a process. You don't go and put the roof up first. You build a foundation. You don't go put the electrical in because there's no walls to put the electrical in. There's a process. There's a planning that has to be gone through. There's a city that has to have approval. Right, Brent? All those fun kind of things. You've got to go through all of this process in order to, and it's important to plan. Pete, you're just doing a great job building this building. I don't think you probably had some plans for that, didn't you? One or two? No, you guys. I shouldn't have asked Pete that one. But there's plans involved, and you sit down. The Bible talks about who goes out and builds a house without first establishing the plans for it. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, how in the world would we ever think we could ever build a life without any type of form of planning and goal setting or whatever you want to call it? The phrase came back to me this week. Remember, what you will be written on your tombstone, you are writing today. Let that one just kind of, wow. What will be written on my tombstone, I'm living out today. So therefore, it's so expedient, so necessary for me to say, wow, I need to clean up some things because I want this kind of things written on my tombstone. Hello? Okay? So, I have a little secret for you. Okay? Don't tell anybody, but life goes to the tortoise and not the hare. Okay? Life goes to the tortoise. Life goes to the person who takes the time to strategize and to plan his ways out in his life. Not that the guy just rushes in where angels fear to tread, but the guy who takes his time and strategically walks through life and strategically plans it. There's a lot more there. You see, the Bible talks about where there is no vision, the people perish. No vision for our life will perish. Stagnate. Okay? Why should I be goal-oriented? Wow. Okay? Let me give you three real quick reasons. Number one, I think we should be goal-oriented because goals keep our life future-focused. Paul said, forgetting the past, I press on. God is a present future God. We get frozen by looking at our past. Goals help us stay future-oriented. Jeremiah 10:23. I love this verse. It says, O Lord, this is the Living Bible paraphrase. It says, O Lord, I know it is not within the power of man to map out his life and plan his course, so you correct me. I like that. God, I'm going to do my best, but you correct me where necessary. And I really like this, but please be gentle. Don't do it in your anger. I would die. Be kind to me. Be nice to me as you correct my pathway. Goals keep our lives future focused. So I want to challenge, first of all. Number two, goals keep our lives priorities. Our priorities focused, okay? Our highest calling is not financial, relational, experiential. Our highest goal in our life should be glorify God all the days of our life. There was a statement made in the Huskies versus Alabama game yesterday that caught my attention. Jake Browning had just dropped back. The defensive line was rushing at him. He ran to his right and just off balance threw a pass that was intercepted and ran back for a touchdown. In my estimation of football and my understanding of sports there, that was a turning point of the game. Okay. The commentator came on after that particular pass and he made this phrase. He said, the pressure, now follow this really close with me here. The pressure caused him to make a poor choice. Did you hear that? Have we ever allowed that to happen in our life? The pressure of life caused us to make a bad choice. Maybe the whole goal, we set out a goal. The pressures attack us from every side. The goals, priorities, again, keep us focused. We set out sometimes with the goal of tithing, but then pressure comes. We make a goal to read our Bible, and then pressure comes. We make a goal to spend more time with our family, then pressure comes. We end up making wrong choices because the pressure comes. So the key word I want to challenge us here, and this is my priority focus, is the word intentional. Say the word intentional with me. Intentional. We're going to do that Wednesday night parenting class event evening, real world parenting. And my whole goal, I have one session, Brian has one, I have one, and we'll have a Q&A at the end. Part of my session to parents is just going to be, parents, do not let your parenting be accidental. Let it be intentional. Set back and plan your parenting. Don't just let it happen. Because if it let it happen, all of a sudden the kids are going to be ruling the roost. And all the parents said. Okay. Anyhow, that's a huge thing. Maybe you have a goal, or you want to go on our mission trip that we're going on to in June down to the LA Dream Center. You have to be intentional about planning that. Hello? If you want to do things in your life in 2017, they will never happen if you don't become intentional. My wife and I sat down at the beginning of December and said, what do we want to do in the month of December to enjoy the lights and the festivities? What do we want to do? And we made a little list. We were very intentional and we were able to accomplish all but one. We were able to enjoy. Okay? I'm telling you here this morning, be intentional about it because one, it keeps our priorities, it keeps them focused. Let me take a minute. Good, thanks. This is so crazy. One of the most inspirational guys I've ever heard of in my life, and maybe you've heard of him, maybe not, is a man by the name of John Goddard. Anybody ever heard of him? Heard of this? Okay, a few of you, okay? This guy, when he was 15, he was challenged to write out goals. So he sat down and he wrote out, at the age of 15, he wrote out 127 goals that he wanted to accomplish in his life. He died in 2015, and at the age of 88, and he had accomplished 109 of them. And you go, that's pretty cool, okay? It's really cool when you understand what they were, okay? Because at the age of 15, he wanted to be an explorer, he wanted to be an adventurer, he wanted to be a traveler, he wanted to be this crazy guy. And let me tell you, he was a crazy guy. Let me just read some of them. He wanted to travel on the Nile River, Amazon River, Congo River, Colorado River, and the Rio Loco in Nicaragua. Did all those. He wanted to study the primitive people in the Congo, New Guinea, Brazil, Borneo, the Sudan, Australia, Kenya, Philippines, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and Alaska. He did. He wanted to climb these mountains. Okay, he didn't climb Mount Everest and he didn't climb Mount McKinley, but he climbed, and I'm not going to pronounce that one, the one in Peru, Kilimanjaro, Mount Ararat, Mount Kenya, Popocatépetl in Mexico. Climbed the Matterhorn. He climbed Mount Rainier. He climbed Mount Fuji. He climbed Mount Vesuvius. He climbed the Grand Tetons. He climbed Mount Baldy. He studied the Navajo and Hopi Indians. He learned how to fly a plane. He rode a horse in the Rose Parade. He wanted to photograph the Ica Falls in Brazil, the Victoria Falls, the Sutherland Falls, Yosemite Falls, Niagara Falls, and he retraced the steps of Marco Polo and Alexander the Great. He wanted to explore underwater, the coral reefs of Florida, the Great Barrier Reef of Australia, the Red Sea, Fiji Islands, the Bahamas, explored the Okefenokee Swamp. I know how to do that one. And the Everglades. He did all those. But now think about this. He wrote all of these when he was 15. He wanted to visit the Great Wall of China, Panama, and Suez Canals, Easter Island, Galapagos Islands, Vatican City, Taj Mahal, Eiffel Tower, Blue Grotto, Tower of London, Leaning Tower of Peace, the Sacred Well of Chichen Itza in Mexico, climb Ayers Rock in Australia. He did all those. I'm not done yet. He wanted to swim in Lake Victoria, Lake Superior, Lake Tanganyika, Lake Titicaca in South America, and Lake Nicaragua. He did those. And here's a whole other list. I'm not going to take time to read these. But he accomplished all these crazy things. He learned how to play the flute and the violin. He typed 50 words a minute, made a parachute jump, learned water and snow skiing, go on a church mission. Thank God. Learned how to fence. He learned jujitsu. He taught a college course. He watched a cremation ceremony in Bali. He built his own telescope. He wrote a book. Actually, he wrote two. He high jumped 5 feet. He broad jumped 15 feet. He ran a mile in 5 minutes. He weighed 175 pounds. He performed 200 sit-ups and 20 pull-ups. He learned French, Spanish, and Arabic. Are you with me? That, and there's still another page. He watched a fire-walking ceremony. Milked a poisonous snake, lit a match with a .22 rifle, visited a every time I read this, I get exhausted. But my point is simply this. He made a priority. Come on. He made a priority of doing these things. If he had never made a priority out of doing them, he never would have done it. And he never would have sat down and tried to plan them all out. It never would have accomplished them all. I think it just goes to show us a little bit as we look at that, 109 out of 127 goals accomplished in his lifetime, from the age of 15 to the age of 88 that he accomplished. By the end of his life, he was making over $100,000 a year as being a college professor and speaker around the world. He was doing that. He had written two different books. He was great notoriety, an incredible guy. Are you with me? Intentional, focused, and it produced an incredibly full life. Think about it. Which leads me to my last point. We'll go. Goals help me live a long and successful life. I really do. Goals help me live a long and successful life. Ephesians chapter 5. Phillips translation says, live life with a due sense of responsibility. Did you hear that? Not as men who do not know the meaning of the purpose of life, but as those who do. Listen to this. Make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of these days. What a great thought, isn't it? I'm going to have the worship team come, and I'm going to share a little story here. Or let's put it on the screen, if you would, the next one about the Harvard. Yeah, Harvard did a study of the graduates. Now, how many of you know Harvard is a pretty good school? Okay, pretty good school. They did a study of grads 20 years after their graduation to determine where they were. I guess there's not much of the worship team, is there? I mean, I didn't mean that personally. Never mind. Okay. Forget that one. I guess maybe just be ready, okay? Anyhow, 20 years after graduation, they did a study of where their graduates were. Now, follow something with me. 6% of them were independently wealthy. 17% of those graduates were considered what they called well-off. 53% were living paycheck to paycheck, 13% were at the poverty level, and 7% were having to subsidize or having to live by government subsidy. Interesting, isn't it? Look at the breakdown. Okay, Harvard grads. Now, here is the commonality. As they studied that, they were shocked. Of course, they were thinking Harvard. Woo-hoo-hoo, yeah, we are a prestigious school on the East Coast. As they looked at that, they realized we're not as prestigious as we may appear or want to be. So they did a study of these same things. They went back to the same people, and they evaluated their lives. And I'm going to try to condense this in just this thought, okay? The one commonality, the common denominator that was woven throughout these results were one thing: goals. The ones who were independently wealthy had, at the time they were going to college, goals, and that they wrote them down and they reestablished them every month. They continually looked at, wrote them down, and they told people about them. Here's where I'm going to be. Here's what I'm going to have. Here's what I'm going to accomplish. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They went on. They were very, very goal-oriented and talked about them. The goal issues subsided as we went down the scale, until you finally get to the government subsidy, and those people with government involved with those graduates in government subsidy literally said, what's a goal? So you see something very much as you travel down that little chart, that report, the importance in every one of us, the common denominator. that was mostly in the very bottom, it was more survival than it was set goals. And again, my challenge to us is this, Proverbs chapter 16, 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I believe that as we take the right choices and determination, that God will crown our efforts with success. God will help us. Jesus called his followers disciples. That term means disciplined ones. Yet how many of us would honestly say that we are disciplined in the area of goal setting, priorities, and let's say it this way, and completing the goals? It's one thing to write them, it's another thing to be determined to follow through on them. Can I challenge all of us this year to make this coming year a little bit more of a disciple type year that, wait a minute, no, I am going to be discipled. I am going to be faithful in these areas of my life more. Think about the different ones. Let me tell you a story. I have a friend of mine that I met about 7 years ago. His name is Jeff. Jeff, I came in contact with him because he was mostly homeless, moved to the area from Arizona. I began to meet with Jeff, and he began to tell me and unfold his story to me. And as he unfolded his story, it was a story of crime, drugs. It was a story of time in prison in Arizona. Picked up his shirt, showed me a big gash in his side from a knife wound that he had gotten in prison in Arizona. While he was in Arizona, he had so many charges against him. He had over $10,000 in fines. So he just got out of Dodge and finished his time in there and was able to get to Washington. And he began to just live on the street. And that's how, I came in contact with him. He couldn't get a driver's license because in Arizona, you have to pay your fines before you get your driver's license back. Okay? And so, condense this little story, but the process of time, Jeff gave his life to Christ. Jeff became a regular member of our church. And Jeff began to say, I don't like my life right now. I want to make some changes. Again, what I said earlier, life goes to the tortoise and not the hare. Jeff began to make some changes in his life one step at a time. First goal was to get totally alcohol free. So he went to a treatment center and got totally free. His next goal, he says, Pastor Bill, I want to stop smoking. I said, Jeff, what are we going to do? So we walked through a process and Jeff got free from smoking. He said, Pastor Bill, I got to find a job. And I said, Jeff, I don't know about this. This is going to be a challenge. We began to pray. Jeff found a job. Through the process of time, we had to either take him someplace or he'd ride the bus system because he couldn't drive. He just said, I'm not going to drive. I know God says it's illegal for me because I don't have my driver's license. I'm not going to drive. I don't have insurance, so I'm not going to do it. And so he just really respected every aspect of it. I talked to Jeff recently, and Jeff has now been promoted on his job to a medical center. He's married, faithful member of his church, graduate from college, just paid off the last payment of his $10,000 in Arizona. Just got his license back about 3 weeks ago. Everything Jeff set out to do, he has accomplished. And the last time I talked to him, he had such a tremendous sense of fullness, of accomplishment. How did he get that? One step at a time. Are you with me? Okay, one step at a time. Enrolling in the classes. And it was hard for him because he had to carry on. He had to work all day. And then he had to go to classes at night. And all the juggling of the schedules. But he was, listen, making right choices and was determined. I've got to get that degree. And he got the degree. I've got to pay off that bill in Arizona. And he paid off, I think he paid off a bunch of it. And then they forgave the rest because they began to realize, wow, this guy's really making some changes. We're going to recognize that. And they wrote off a lot of it. Are you with me? Think about that. How about us? Here's a Goddard that sets out these goals. I'm just trying to challenge us not to go out and make these audacious goals. I'm just saying, let's just make some, and let's make right choices and determination and follow through on those. But we have to know where we're going. Where's God want you to go? What's God pointing out to you, directions and so forth for you? And so that's my challenge this morning. Pretty simple, pretty basic, but very relevant, I think very biblical. And as we begin this year, something for us really to reflect on. What's God saying to you about your spiritual walk? What's God saying about your relationships? What's God saying about your physical being? What's God saying about your financial? What's God really speaking to you? Put a goal out there and say, God, help me accomplish that for your glory. See, again, God can't steer if we're not moving. So let's get moving. Let's get moving. Let's get going. Everybody said.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.